Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? 10 seconds late, but it's still all right. Amen. We have a brand new sound tech. Everyone go just take a look at Isaac Dremza in the back. He's doing a fantastic job on it, and we're just happy to have extra volunteers around the church. Amen. So you may be seated. If you're your this is your first time here, first time guest, we just welcome here to Calvary Gospel Church. We think this is the greatest church in the world, and we just love being here, and we're thankful that you're here. Amen. And if you haven't already, we have a small connection card we'd like for you to fill out. It's pretty simple. It just has some basic information, and we have a small gift for you. You can get one from our ushers or greeters or a back-of-the-back kiosk in the foyer. And if you're online visiting with us, you can just go to that bit.ly link at the bottom of the screen or use your phone to scan that QR code. It'll take you to the exact same card. And you can get connected with Calvary Gospel Church, one of our many ministries, connection groups, or other types of things we have going on. We just love to connect with you. Thanks for being here today, amen. We have an announcement right now. We have a small video we want to play for Mother's Memorial.
Because they organized a bake sale, she can learn to organize and lead a worship team. Because he committed to give, she can commit to a Bible study that will change her life. Because this youth group had a car wash. She can wash the feet of her adopted baby. Because she gave online, she can receive relief from mounting medical bills. Because this family prayed, she can go to Bible school overseas and answer to her prayers. Because they ran a 5K. She can walk into communities and build a bridge between cultures. Because of all you do to support Mother's Memorial, she can change the world. Visit ladiesministries.com to find more ways to get involved.
The theme for Mother's Memorial this year is She Can. And if you've been affected by Mother's Memorial, maybe you've received some type of a scholarship or you're a missionary. Missionary's kid, would you just raise your hand if you've ever received something from Mother's Memorial? There's been more than a few people that have received some of the scholarship money. And I think last year, the ladies' ministry in Wisconsin raised like $160,000 for missionary needs across our state. I can't remember the exact number, so don't quote me on that, but they've done such an awesome job with raising funds for missionaries' needs and also just local ladies' ministries. We have a very active ladies' ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we just invite you to be a part of that. You can give to Mother's Memorial by designating the funds through the end of May on one of our giving envelopes at the clear box in the back, or you can use the app if you want to go into the giving section. You can scroll down and then select Mother's Memorial, and you can give that way. Now, that offering will be available for you to give to all the way to the end of May. Okay, so we're excited for that. Any ladies going to ladies' retreat? Woo! So you'll hear a lot more about Mother's Memorial and the things that are happening with Mother's Memorial there, but we're just so thankful for Mother's Memorial and ladies' ministry. Amen. By the way, there's some other giving options. If you'd like to give online, you can do that at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person at the clear box I already mentioned in the back. You can also give by mail if you want to send in your offering to 5301 Commercial Avenue by check. Or you can use the mobile giving app, Church Center app. You can download that at the Google Play Store or the App Store for Apple, and it's just called Church Center. And you should be able to fill out a little bit of information and get connected to other ways of giving. So we're thankful for that. And at this time, let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer for the rest of the service, but also for those that are in need. We have a couple of beautiful women in our church that are struggling with battle with cancer, and we want to pray for them and also for everyone else who's been affected by any sickness or any other things. If you have come into the service tonight carrying a load or a heavy burden of sickness or any other thing that you are facing, would you just lift your hand to the Lord right now? In faith believing, if you see someone near you, would you just step out of your pew and just reach over and put your hand on their shoulder and pray with them for the next couple of minutes? There's a lot of situations going on in the background. We have member care that's taking care of a lot of things like that in prayer circles and things like that. But right now, we're here. And so we just want to pray that God is going to do something awesome in this service that we did not expect when we came into the building. But we're going to let God have the moment right now, okay? In the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, that you'll touch every single situation here that's been represented by a lifted hand of faith. Oh, God, I ask you to touch every single body that's in need of healing, in need of a miracle, in need of some type of healing, God, that only you can provide. Lord, I ask you to touch every family situation. I ask you to touch every financial situation. God, I ask you to touch every spiritual situation. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, to just move among your children tonight. Heal their bodies. Heal their lives. Heal their families. Heal their homes, oh God. Heal this church, oh Lord God. Have your way tonight, Lord. In this service, God, we ask you to anoint Brother Seidel as he brings the word of God tonight, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that for the remainder of this worship, that we give you full attention and whole hearts, Lord God, right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, faith believing, God, we plead the blood of Jesus on all of these saints, Lord, and on this service in the name of Jesus. Right now, we ask you, Lord God, to just join with us, oh God, in this place, Lord God. Be with us, commune with us, oh Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just worship with us for a few more moments.
Now I'm alive and well. Let's worship him. Let's continue to worship him. Let's continue to worship him. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I'm up here waiting to preach, the beginning of service, I just want everything to be done so I can get up and start preaching. But then when we start worshiping and you feel the presence of God and God starts moving, then you just want to keep worshiping and praising. And hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful to be in God's house? Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Dan. The all-Powell worship team. Amen. Yeah. Let praise God. Praise God. I hope you feel what I feel right now in the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of the Lord. Just reach out to him for a minute more. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can talk to you right now. He can confirm what you're going to hear later. He can confirm what you heard earlier today. Let the Holy Ghost talk to your heart. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. So grateful I know a God of grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You may be seated. I want to read that again from the Amplified Version. But Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations, family history of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, one who was just and had right standing with God. Blameless in his evil generation, and actually it's plural generations, Noah walked and lived in habitual fellowship with God. Amen. I want to speak this evening for a few minutes on Noah found grace. I don't know how many times I've read this verse or taught it in a Bible study or heard it read or spoken. But for some reason, this phrase, Noah found grace, gripped me. He found it. The word means to acquire or to encounter. It wasn't that it just happened. He did something to get to the place where he was acquiring grace from God. I know that flies in the face of a lot of theology for some people, but he found grace in the eyes of God. It was there already. God's grace is here for all of us. All of the time, every day. But it's up to us to find it. There were probably millions of people on the earth at the time. I don't know what the population of the earth was in the time of Noah, but the Bible says that only he and his sons and their wives were the ones that were taken in the ark. They found grace of all of the population on the planet. Grace was there for all of them. But they're the ones that found it. The clause that's used there, but Noah, indicates that it's making the comparison to his status and the statement prior to that in the previous verses, talking about the wickedness of the world that he lived in. Their hearts were focused on evil continually. The Bible says that in the last days, they'll be like the days of Noah. I see a lot of parallels from today to Noah's day. Today's world is I think, as close to fulfilling prophecy as ever there has been. Amen. God condemns the human race by Noah's example later on in the scripture. It talks about him that by his righteous behavior, the world was condemned. Because Noah found grace. The word grace here really is talking about favor. He found favor in the eyes of God. See, too many people in the church today are trying to find favor with the world. We want to fit in. We don't want to be the oddball at work. We don't want to be the person who stands out. We're trying to find favor. We're trying to find grace with the wrong people. I want to find grace in the eyes of God. What is grace? What is grace? No, grace is not an actress that married a prince. If you don't know, that's Princess Grace of Monaco. That's a generational thing. You can look it up on the interweb. Back in the 70s and 80s, that's good. We can say goodbye to grace now. It was trendy in the 70s and 80s. Again, I'm dating. We were taught, and I was at the University of Wisconsin, we were taught that everything is relative. There are no moral absolutes. And we were taught moral relativity. And it became very trendy to have philosophical arguments. And it all depended on what was influencing your mind at the time, but still. And they would answer great questions like, what is beauty? Or what is truth? Even Pilate had to ask that question. But after a while, it became then trendy to make fun of having those philosophical arguments by bringing up those questions in a certain way. One of those topics that people would bring up was, what is art? Well, there used to be a man that lived on campus, on the UW campus, presumed to be homeless. I don't know what his whole situation was, but he was really overweight, and he usually wore t-shirts that were way too small for him so that you could see how overweight he was. And he washed windows when he needed money. So he usually had a bucket nearby, and probably just got paid minimal sums by the storekeepers, but that was how he, when he needed money, that's what he did. Art would do that. And he was well known on campus, but he was not usually well dressed or much cleaned up. But he was very recognizable. Everybody knew his name was Art. And he was known as Art the Window Washer. And you may have guessed already, or if you were around at that time, you remember that some enterprising soul had t-shirts made up. And on top of the t-shirt, the question was, what is art? And under the heading was Art's picture on the t-shirt, and underneath it said, Art is a window washer. What is grace? That's a philosophical question that Christianity has been dealing with for a long time. Kind of question that We have a stock answer for that. If you go to many sources, you will find the same answer. And the stock answer is two words, unmerited favor. It's like back then when you said, what is art? The answer was immediately, art is a window washer. So if you ask any nominal Christian these days, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. But just as there is more to the definition of what art is, and there's more to grace than the name of a famous actress, grace is more than a two-word answer. Grace is the means. Grace is the element of God's goodness. It's the expression of God's love. Grace is that which allows us to receive anything from God or do anything for God. Without God's grace, we could not know him. We could not even approach him. Without God's grace, we could not hear from him. We could not understand his word. We could not experience his love. Without grace, we could not find repentance or have our sins washed away. Without grace, we could never be forgiven. We could not have the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Without grace, we could not live a life that's holy and pleasing to him. Without grace, we would never be able to receive the promise of eternal life. Without grace, we would all be lost and undone, wallowing in our sin. The world would be without God's grace in the earth, this world would be a completely dark existence. Because mankind would be totally corrupt to the core without God's grace. A fearful place. Grace is more than a pat definition or a saying on a t-shirt or a saying on a bookmark or a Bible cover. Grace is the vehicle of God's love for us that opens the door, that leads the way into his presence. I'm so glad we sang that song. So that we can know the love and the forgiveness of an eternal Father who loved us before we were born. And he only wants good things for you and me, now and for all of eternity. Grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I want to find God's grace. I want my loved ones to find God's grace. I want everyone here tonight to find grace in the eyes of God. I want everyone I know to find God's grace. Paul was told by God that my grace, God said, is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for me. It's sufficient for you. It's sufficient for every soul on this planet. We need to find God's grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. The word in the Old Testament seems to have a little more of a limited application than what we find in the New Testament, but it still operates, it still really functions the same. It talks about favor, and I've already mentioned that briefly. So we can say that Noah found favor and grace, as the Amplified does, in the eyes of the Lord. But when we look at it, we see this phrase in between the description of the wickedness of the world that he lived in. His status is compared to that, but then it's also God's favor, God's grace, that allows him to have the opportunity to build the ark. It was grace that made a way for him to do it. Romans 1:5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Grace empowers us. We are in God's favor when we are walking in grace. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But it's more than just a status. It's an opportunity. It's an empowerment. The empowerment of God to do His will, to do right. It's through Him that we have received grace and our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith, is what the Amplified Version says. It's the grace that empowers us. Noah had the favor of God in that he was in a place where he was not going to suffer the judgment that the world did. I want to be in that place. That's unmerited. I don't deserve to be there. I can't earn that grace. That's unmerited favor. But grace is more than just where I stand. It's something that motivates me, that makes a way. I in preparing for this, I had this light bulb moment. And I thought, grace is like water that flows to the place that needs it. I thought, whoa, that's neat. And then I went online and I found out that people have been using that analogy for a long time. Philip Yancey says, grace like water flows to the lowest part. There's a song that is titled Grace Like Water, and there's even a book of poems by the same name, so it wasn't all that original, but it still applies. Grace is everywhere. I believe that God's grace is not far. The Bible says that He is not far from any one of us if only we'll feel after Him. And somehow I feel tonight like God is reaching for someone who hasn't recognized that God's grace is available to you for whatever your need is. Water flows to the lowest point, but it's a localized thing. So if there's a ring of hills around a certain area, that water table is going to be confined to that area. The water is going to gather in the lowest point within that structure, within that circle of hills. So sometimes you have to get into the place where the grace is working, where it's flowing, where the Spirit of God is. That's why we come to church. That's why we have fellowship. But maybe you're in a place that's dry and you haven't felt the presence of God. You don't know God's grace, but I'm here to tell you, if you will seek it, you can find grace in the eyes of God. And however hard you may think your heart is, however dry you may think your life is, there's something about water. When it gets on a surface, it just kind of works. Somehow it manages to find the cracks. And it manages to wear its way in and get down inside. And God tonight wants to get down inside of somebody's heart. He wants to relieve the dryness and the emptiness of your life. There's grace. It's everywhere. It flows to the place where we need it the most. In the worst hour, in the driest time, in the most difficult moment, the grace of God is there. The grace of God flows when we admit our need. When we come to God and say, I need you. I can't do this alone. The grace of God is there when we recognize that we're sinners, that I've made a mess of this life and I need help. God, please forgive me. The grace of God is there to flow, to fill that place. Oh, praise God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. He's always listening. David, the Bible says that David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, he did a lot of things wrong, but he did that which was right, and he was able to find God when he needed Him, even when he fell, even when he failed. King Asa, the Bible says later on, says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. If I want my children to find grace, I need to set the example. I promise you, my children know I'm not perfect. But they know that I'm seeking the grace of God. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all things." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good." So it's not like we need to go very far to find God's grace. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere all the time. We know he doesn't have actual eyes. Now, we know Jesus in the flesh, when he was here, had every human faculty and experience that we did. But the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the fact, he's not limited to a pair of eyeballs. But he is especially attentive to those who call on his name, and to those of us who have been filled with his spirit. There's a place. It's not necessarily a physical place, but there's a place, there is a way that we can find grace in the eyes of God. It doesn't have to be in a church service. It can be in our living room or by our bedside or in the car when we turn and cry out to the living God in the name of Jesus Christ. His grace is there. We can find grace in the eyes of God. There's a place where we can be empowered by God and anointed by him. If you feel his call, his direction, his purpose in your life, there's grace to empower you to fulfill the call that he's placed on you. Hallelujah. God sees all things. Moses relied on that favor of God, on the nearness of God. In Exodus 33:12-17, I want to read this passage. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast let them know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." What is he saying? He's saying, you have assured me, we have this relationship. I know that you're near, and I have sought your face. "Now therefore," Moses says, "I pray if I have found grace in thy sight, since we have this relationship, since I know that I have this communication with you, show me now thy way that I may know thee." That's the empowerment of grace. "That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest." Hallelujah. Are you intimidated by the thing that God's calling you to do? Are you fearful of giving your heart to God? He said, "My presence will go with you." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me," this is Moses, "carry us not up hence." I can't do this. I won't go if you're not with me. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" Now he's asking for all of Israel. "Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. I and thy people from all the people that are on the face of the earth." That's the thing. Or one of the things. Is we're going to have to be separate somehow. We have to leave the collective. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Praise God. Five times, if I count correctly, grace in God's sight is mentioned in this passage. Five times, both by God and by Moses. It's an issue. I want to find grace in a sight. But notice, there's also coupled with that, it goes hand in hand. Grace in the eyes of the Lord is the presence of the Lord. It's not just a ephemeral thing that, you know, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I know the presence of the Lord is with me. And thereby, I know that I have grace in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you been filled with God's Holy Spirit? Then you have found favor in the eyes of God. You found grace. But that grace still is more than just that one time. It empowers you to do His will. How do we know if we have found grace in His sight? Well, let's go back to our text. What was it about Noah? If we read verse 9, it says that Noah was, one, a just man. He was perfect in his generations. And he walked with God. Three attributes of someone who has found grace in the eyes of God. He was a just man. That means his life was, he had a righteous lifestyle. He was another phrase, another word that's used sometimes is blameless. In Genesis 24, it means that he maintained a proper relationship. In Deuteronomy 8, it's blameless in the sense of not guilty of idolatrous practices. In the book of Psalms, blameless in the sense of not having violated God's commands. You get where we're going here. In Psalm 37, in contrast to the wicked, again, like in our text. And in contrast to the proud, the deceitful, and slanderers, there's a difference about a just person in the eyes of God. That's one of the attributes of Noah. The other attribute was perfect in his generations. And it's the original word is purposely plural. Some translate this and they say generation, but in fact it's plural. It's meant to be plural. That means that he was perfect or righteous or right standing with in comparison to the generation that went before him. In comparison to the generation of his age, and in comparison to the generation that followed him. Think about that for a minute. Some of us get so wrapped up in our generation's concept of how life ought to be lived that we lose the principles of God's word. It says it didn't matter who you compared him to. He was blameless compared to any generation. He was not trapped in his generation's concept of righteousness or right living.
Oh, I got to say it. I can't help it. He wasn't very woke. I wasn't going to, but I couldn't help it. That's not true. I could have helped it. But you get my point. Every generation develops their own concept of, you know, the way the world ought to work and the way what's moral and what's not, what's more valuable. We develop a set of values. And every generation thinks the generation that went before them, they got it wrong, so we have to get it right. That may surprise some of you, but my generation thought the same thing about the generation that went ahead of us. Yeah. But Noah was blameless
in his generations. Praise God. He wasn't trapped in the generational flow. He was in the presence of God. And then the third attribute, and this doesn't happen without the other two, he walked with God. You remember the other guy that the Bible talks about walking with God, right? His name was Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not. He was so close to God, so much in his presence that he just was taken while he was still alive. He walked with God. The same phrase is used in 1 Samuel where it refers to David and Nabal's men rubbing shoulders, so to speak. They worked alongside of each other. Praise God. God's not asking us just to work for him. He's asking us to work with him. I want to walk with God. I want to know that what I'm doing in ministry, that he's in it with me. It means to live in close proximity to maintain cordial relationships with. Are we walking with God? Am I walking with God? Am I doing the work that he's called me to do? Is he with me in what I'm doing? The scariest thing is to stand up in front of this church, to stand behind the pulpit and not be certain that God is with you. Am I working alongside of him? He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That means that the work that we're doing, he will come alongside of us and bear the load. Hallelujah. I want to rub shoulders with Jesus Christ every day of my life. I want to find grace in the eyes of God. The musicians can come. Do I have these attributes? Am I living a blameless life? Am I living a just life? Am I trapped by my generation's values? Or do I pursue the timeless principles and values of his word? Let's stand. Am I walking with God? Ask yourself these questions. Praise God. Do you know God's presence tonight? Is it fresh in your life or has it been a long time? You can find grace in the eyes of God tonight. Are we in communication with God? Have you heard from him lately? I'm sure he's tried to reach you. Because he's always trying to reach us. Are we hearing his voice? Are we reading his word? Have I called on his name today? Am I walking with God? Or do I have to go looking for him and make what used to be called a long distance call? We don't have those anymore. I want to find grace tonight. I want to leave here. I want to be close to God before I wake up tomorrow morning. I want to be close to God before I go to bed tonight. No, I want to be close to God before I leave this place. I want to find grace in the eyes of God. Praise God. Why don't you come and pray? Hallelujah. He's not far from any one of us, the Bible says. If only we'll feel after him. Doesn't matter what you've done, how long it's been, he's here. He's here. And he wants you to experience his grace. He wants to empower you to do his will. He wants to wash your sins away. He wants to fill you with his spirit. Praise God.
Yeah.
something I maybe should have brought up is that in Noah's day, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but the Bible says that God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with flesh." Which means that God had reached the point where those souls that were there would no longer respond to God's grace. Let me say that. It wasn't that God's grace wasn't there. It was that they would no longer respond to His grace. And only Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of God. Don't wait to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. God bless you. That's it. 70s tomorrow, they said. I'll believe it when I see it, but okay. Praise God. God bless you. Pray for Pastor. He's preaching out of town. He's traveling. Keep him in your prayers. Keep Bishop in your prayers. He's not doing well right now physically. Pray for Bishop Grant. In Jesus' name.